Rookie Fever, take 21.
Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets as if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it, baby.
They come. Wait, three.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 219. This week we're going to start re-ranking some of the 2020 class and the 2021 class combined. But we're going to tease you a little bit, and we're just going to go 10 through 6. And we're also going to talk about some rookies that we're losing some trust in. Or we're calling them busts. I'm not allowed to call them busts. And then we've got some other rookies that we trust. But you know for a fact that I'm not doing that alone. Here, as always, with the feverish Fanero and spaceman, Dave Wright. Dave Wright. Got to come in fast and hard with the Dave Wright. Like, I end too softly. Dave Wright.
I'm enjoying my Mets retirement from playing all-star caliber third base and then just, you know, repping Rookie Fever.
Yeah, now we have to do take 22 because I didn't like that intro. Imagine if we did that many takes.
That was smooth.
Like, we're half hour in and then we didn't like it and we're starting over. Take 23. Click. Need one of those clickboards. All right.
Now for real, take 20. No.
Yeah, can we start over?
Everybody's wishing we would have at this point. So, kind of a crazy week 13, and then this week 14 bye weeks. Did anybody wear their Scott Fishbowl bye week t-shirts? Just me?
No, I did not get a bye. I'm in, but I did not get a bye. Nice. Not as fortunate.
Finish 6-7 after starting 0-6. I'll take it. I'll take that finish. But no, it was a tough start.
Yeah. Is it you take the good, you take the bad, or you'll take the good in the bad?
I'll just take my dignity I can get it.
He's like, leave me alone, damn it.
No. Congratulations to you guys, though. I'm excited. Way to represent the pod. I appreciate it.
And honestly, like, it's just a fun tournament to be in, honestly. So.
And happy to be part, raising money for Toys for Tots. All those pictures have been, and the video has been great this past
week. Absolutely. Everybody's doing their shopping this time of year. Anybody from the top 12 that you guys wanted to talk about a little bit before we hop into these rankings, or you just kind of want to hit it as we go?
I mean, I wanted to, since I seem to be the Elijah Moore guy on this show, I definitely wanted to point out that he once again became a wide receiver one for fantasy owners. And we talked about it a little bit last week, how Zach Wilson had just come back. Didn't seem like they were comfortable. Very, very early in the game, they connected for, I think it was in the first possession, they connected for their first touchdown together. So rookie to rookie, I was pretty excited to see that. I jumped into Boxer and was screaming about that right away.
Yeah,
Wilson had a decent game, had a good first half, which is very un-Wilson-like. So I was happy to see that as well. And, I'm loving my Elijah Moore shares. I know anybody who has them is loving them.
Went on to target Elijah Moore 11 more times for a total of 12 targets.
Yeah.
Only brought in 6 of them.
Tight.
77 yards, 20.85 points, wide receiver 11, like Feverish said, for a wide receiver 1. Yeah, man. He's one of those guys, like, I just don't know what to tell you if you don't have him at this point. If you don't have Elijah Moore at this point, you need a startup. That's probably the only way you're going to get him, honestly, after seeing that with Zach Wilson finally, or you might have to pay more than I like to pay for wide receivers.
Same for a lot of these that we're going to talk about in this re-rank. Probably you need a startup to get any of these rookies we're going to talk about in a re-rank, probably, in the re-rank.
Yeah, I agree. Javonte Williams, running back 1. Rookie 1, 37.55 points, 23 attempts, 102 yards, 6 receptions, 9 targets, 76 yards, and another touchdown on the ground. or a touchdown. All the craze anywhere you go right now is Javonte Williams. I feel like, well, you guys have been listening to the show, so I think we can pat ourselves on the backs on this one, because I feel like we've been talking about this for a little bit longer than most people, and kind of watching that split and how well Javonte Williams has really done all year to this point. That said, wow. So, I mean, Dave, do you still think that Melvin Gordon returns next year?
I think it's an option. I think it's an option because I think in the NFL, it's never a bad thing to have too many running backs in your carousel, too, especially for what that has. Now, does that mean that don't want Javonte Williams? No, certainly. I mean, he showed us what he can. He showed us. Finally, we saw what he can do when he's given the load, and he did it. I was going to do this bit where I just pretend I didn't hear you this entire time and ask Finero what you're saying, because I have Javonte Williams muted right now on Twitter, but I couldn't hold to the bit.
Oh, so. That's right. You did.
But no, I unmuted for Rookie Fever.
And then I was kind of like, hey man, it's okay. It's all going to be over soon. There's going to be a Monday night game and this is all going to go away. And then it didn't. This one is just carried on and on and on. I agree, but I think we still the same. We had to mention it, and I agree. I think if Melvin Gordon's not there, I don't think it's going to be just Mike Boone, because they can find another replacement of some sort. Still, I mean, Javonte Williams, what a week. Finero, at that craze and all the hype, are you selling?
Maybe. I mean, let me be honest. I mean, I was early to Williams before he was – there was only two backs coming out in this class. So I've flipped so far the other way now that I just feel like there's so much hype and there's so much – I feel like everyone is patting each other on the back as if they all knew it or they all thought it. And it's mind-numbing, to be quite honest. I'm about to mute it myself, David. I mean, I looked at him. He rushed for 102 yards. You know, that's fantastic. It's the nine targets and the receptions, but –
One of those,
I think it was 35 to 40 yards was literally a gimme play at the end of the first half. And then there were some pretty junk plays at the end of the game for garbage time too. That's kind of getting ignored. The guy had a good game, but it's almost as if everyone is saying Denver and all whole coaching staff should just be fired if they don't just run with Williams for the rest of the season and literally kick Gordon to the curb. I guarantee you, without looking it up, combined, they're a better running back than Javonte Williams all by himself. I don't even need to look it up, because Javonte Williams is having a good season, just having 50% of the shares. So is Melvin Gordon. I guarantee you, every single week, those two backs will beat Javonte Williams alone every week. I don't even need to look it up. So I just think it's kind of ridiculous that everyone loves this guy so much that it's a little overhyped at this point. I don't know. I feel like it's a little too much. And I'm not saying he's not going to be good. He's going to be very good. I'm not. So when you say, oh, would you sell him? The only reason I say, yeah, I'm kind of thinking about it is because it feels like one of those things where he's just like, oh my God, he's got to be worth a king's ransom right now. And yeah. I don't know if he's worth a king's ransom. But yeah, I mean, if you have Javonte Williams, you're very happy. And I get it. I'm just a little surprised that – I guess I shouldn't be. I'm a little almost annoyed on just how universal this is. No one's coming out and saying anything. I feel like just me saying the little bit I did – sorry, Dave. I shouldn't say no one. but it's almost blasphemy, right? It's almost blasphemy to talk bad on them. That's weird to me. That or to question something or to have a debate about it. No, he's top three RB in Dynasty now. Done.
Finero, you said something early on. Oh, sorry.
Swags. What's up, Dave?
You said something early on where you said everyone's acting like they knew it was a thing and it's just been the thing and that's been how it is. I was not one of those people when we were doing rookie analysis in the offseason. If you guys remember, when we were talking, I had some skepticism about that he couldn't separate from Michael Carter and that, you know, he shared the load and he didn't. I was worried about his breakaway ability and how what that would mean for him. But so I'll go out there and I'll say I was my skepticism is not being warranted. It's not warranted. He's proven. So I just want to say everyone can say what they want about Javonte Williams and they knew from the whole time. Well, as someone who has liked how he's played all season, because I think he has played very well all season, I was not on board from the beginning. So I just want to say, like, let's not rewrite the narrative here for what it was, because there were people who had question marks.
Yeah. And I mean, I think we have a question mark about a lot of players coming in, especially like a spot like Javonte Williams with Melvin Gordon on a team with less than desirable quarterbacks. I feel like a couple things here, you know, and going back even to what Fenero said and what you now said, Dave, like, I think the hype is what is happening right now from that good game. If we're being honest, everybody, I think, should have sort of seen this coming a little bit. Yep. It's hard to say this is what we were waiting for, but this is what we were watching for. Out of the bye, he did pretty good with Melvin there. Then Melvin goes down and he gets that opportunity and does very well with it. You see that in your fantasy points. My problem, if we're going to get into it, and it's really not important because, what other people are saying and how they feel about Javonte Williams, how they did or didn't, isn't here nor there. It's some of the least actionable content we could actually talk about. But I would say that if people did feel that way about him, wear it on your sleeves and show me that conviction and help people to him before it's too late, not afterwards. Cause this is easy. I can easily tell you Javonte Williams just kicked freaking ass. So wear those things on your sleeve before it happens, not when you're comfortable, because you're right now. I guess that's what I would say. But moving forward, I mean, it doesn't sound like any of us have him ranked as like an RB3 or RB4. It's hard for me to put him as a top five, but I am excited still. It's a decent fantasy playoff schedule, I think, with or without Melvin Gordon.
Absolutely. Do you think he's earned a little bit more of that 50-50 split? That's the question everybody's asking right now, and nobody knows. I think personally, I'll answer my own question. I'm just curious what you guys think. I think it's going to be damn close to the 50-50 when it looks like Melvin Gordon's practicing today. Melvin Gordon was given those prime red zone targets. I think he stays with those again. I think Javonte's got two touchdowns on the season. Actually, maybe a little bit more now with this game, maybe three. But yeah, so I think 55-45. And like, yeah, that's I think that's an unpopular opinion, to be honest.
Not to be agreeable, but I think you're a smart guy, and I agree with you, dude. I think that Javonte has played pretty damn well all year. He's proven that he could do this in that backfield. When they have Melvin Gordon there, there's no reason for them to give either of those running backs that kind of load. And I don't think, while I think that he has earned some trust and there could be a changing of the guard sooner than later, even if Melvin is there next year, I think that split will always be pretty close and could frustrate fantasy owners.
And we need to stop looking at this as a purely what we want. Wishful thinking. They lost 9-22 to the Kansas City Chiefs. It was dump off city from noodle armed Teddy Bridgewater. That's what it was. Like, that's what happened. They didn't, they got beat. They might have held their own for a little bit with Kansas City a little bit, but it was not a good, you know, it wasn't like we have to stop thinking of it from just purely, points in a box score, spread fantasy points, and think about what, besides him doing well, what they didn't have, did it help their team win? No. So why oversee the veteran? Because, you know, Nick Fangio is a defensive guy. I bet he preaches veteran leadership and the importance of veterans. And what, you're going to Wally Pip him after one game? He's missed one game and he's played well. Come on.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point.
But I like Javonte Williams.
Oh,
I do too. No one's shitting on the guy.
Trivia this early in the show.
Love it.
Elijah Moore is fourth in targets among fourth in targets among rookie wide receivers. He is sixth in receptions among rookie wide receivers. Who are the two rookie wide receivers who have less targets than him but more receptions? Elijah Moore has been targeted 77 times, and he has brought in 43 of them.
So you're asking who has
less targets, more receptions. Right.
Yep. You got it. There are two rookies that have wide receivers, mind you, that have less targets but more receptions.
It's not Waddle.
Definitely not Waddle. It's not Chase either.
Najee Harris?
Wide receivers.
Thank God. Sorry. So he's not doing the trick stuff at least.
Well, that's what I thought. I was like, that's a streaky guy.
This is a hard one.
I said wide receivers.
I know. I trickster.
You trickster.
And Devonta Smith has a lot of targets, so it's not Smith.
Smith has more targets and also more receptions, yes.
Yeah.
Smith is third in receptions and third in targets, if that helps.
I bet Rondale Moore.
Rondale Moore is one of them.
No way.
We have a winner.
Rondale Moore is 48 receptions on 57 targets, so 20 less targets than that of Elijah Moore, but he's brought in five more.
That is close.
There's one more.
Is he in the top 12 this week?
He is in the top 12 this week, David.
Oh, well, that's like a cheat sheet then.
You may use it.
Well, it's got to be Amon-Ra.
Amon-Ra St. Brown. 49 receptions on 64 targets. Wide receiver 6 this week. Targeted 12 times, brought in 10 of them, making up a little bit of ground on that. But yes, both of these wide receivers have been targeted less times. Rondale Moore substantially less. But even Amon-Ra 13 less times, brought in 6 more than that of Elijah Moore.
That was a good one. You got me on that one.
Is that just bad quarterback play? I mean, and he's had 3 quarterbacks this year. I'm right. He hasn't had 4 yet, has he? Right.
Flacco, Mike White,
and
Josh Johnson,
Wilson,
Johnson, right?
Oh, yeah, Josh Johnson. Yeah, so
he has had 4.
Mm-hmm.
So that's crazy. Hopefully, some kind of chemistry builds with Zach Wilson and Elijah Moore moving forward here. Are you guys ready to start ranking these two classes together?
Very interested to see what you guys think.
I don't know. The players you have to leave off this list is crazy.
I have like a 4-way tie for 10.
Four-way tie?
Well, let's say 3, but yeah.
It's a tough spot. I'm trying to think. We'll do some thinking. We'll do some thinking. Fever, we've got you first on the list here.
Okay.
If you want to share your guy.
Sure. I would love
number 10.
Pretty sure this is
from
not
the 2020 and the 2021 class combined.
Correct. I'm pretty sure that this young man has not found his way into your top 10, if you'd like a clue.
You never know.
It is Mr. Tony Antonio Gibson. RB13 is rookie season, missing 3 games. RB10 this season in 2021. 206 attempts, 800 yards, playing through a stress fracture in his shin that he's been playing with since week 4. Also has another 216 receiving yards on 33 targets. In 12 games, he has already exceeded his rookie season production. So Antonio Gibson at number 10, combining the classes. I'm guessing, Swags, he's not on your list.
We'll just have to wait and find out. Is Antonio Gibson on Swagzilla OG's list?
That's a no.
Probably have to wait till the next episode because he's probably pushing top 5 for you. So we'll have to wait till the next episode.
Just going to have to wait
that's
and see.
Happening.
Gibson, yeah. I mean, I'll say again.
Go ahead.
I don't know if I want to say yet, but there's a lot of good players not on our lists.
I agree.
So there's players next? I like more than Antonio Gibson not on my list.
And I think he's been surging late too, right, Finero?
He's been surging
the last
late.
Couple of weeks.
He's been surging late, but I mean he's an RB1, guys. I don't know what to tell you.
In overall scoring, he's RB21 in points per game. So, you know, you throw in, so you mix and match Elijah Mitchell starts. You know, you can RB comp, Franken comp your way through a better Antonio Gibson
Franken
production.
Franken comp.
Yeah. That's what we all love to do at the running back position, Franken comp that shit.
Dave, who are you Franken comp into number 10 here for your rankings?
Well, like I said, this is a 3-way tie. Betweens, but I'm not going to mention the other couple players here. I'm just going to say it's Jalen Waddle at 10 for me. There's, like Swag said, there's a lot of good players here in this top 10 from the last two classes. And it's mixing positions too, which is even harder. It gets really intriguing if we do it by position, but from overall standpoint, Jalen Waddle, who's got an incredible amount of targets per game, he's got a solid 23-24% target share, incredibly efficient at turning his air yards into receiving yards. So his racer is really good, which is a nice efficiency metric. And he's been a lot more efficient the second half of the season than he was early on. And the reason why I put him here over some other wide receivers from this rookie class was his quarterback. Tua has looked really good since he's returned. And that's the reason why. Now, I'm worried that his surrounding team, he doesn't have to really shine over many people. So he's getting some inflated volume. But he's showing us big plays now. He's being reliable he's gobbling the ball up. He's scoring a lot of fantasy points and he's been incredibly valuable. So he comes in at 10.
Yeah, I don't hate it. I bet he'll come up again on the show.
Wow.
It was hard for me to get him in here at 10, but I was like, you know what? He's just been that good. He comes in at 10.
Where are you going, Swags? Who's your 10?
I'm going with T. Higgins here. Who I'm going to be under the assumption that you guys have a little bit higher. I'm really excited about this Cincinnati offense, but I'm not so excited about trying to figure out which week is a Higgins week and which week is a Jamar Chase week. And while even on their floor weeks, I think they're fine. You can start them as your wide receiver 2 to 3, definitely in a flex spot. I like these guys a lot, but for me, you'll hear later. I mean, I have Jamar Chase up a little bit higher, but it's a weird situation. And we've seen Higgins this last couple weeks, but we saw him kind of go away for a little bit. And then Higgins is back and we see Chase go away for a little bit. Such a nice freaking class. But yeah, T. Higgins at 10 here for me.
This is when I wish I watched a little bit more film. And I would like to see, are defenses trying to take away Chase? And is that why they're moving to T. Higgins? Or is it just, hey, we're scheming up T. Higgins this week because we like his matchups and we're going T. Higgins? You know, I think that'd be interesting to try to figure out here, because I think there is a little, like, why are they both not having good games at the same time kind of thing? So that'd be an interesting thing to dive a little bit further on for all the film people out in the audience. Slide into my DMs. I'd love an answer.
You line up a guest in the offseason. Those
Dave DMs. FF_spaceman. All lowercase. Really easy to find.
Unless you have me blocked.
Yeah, then you have to unblock him. Tell us why, damn it. Tell us why. Why? Number 9, Feverish.
Number 9, Javonte Williams. Week 13's RB1 with no Melvin Gordon, averaging 4.78 yards per carry, 939 yards rushing and receiving in just 12 games, with sharing the backfield with the aforementioned Melvin Gordon 50-50 split. 11th in the league in yards after contact and 6th in yards after contact per rushing attempt. That's all we hear about Javonte Williams' yards after contact, but we got to bring it up. Number 9, Javonte Williams.
You do like him a little bit less than me. I'll say that.
And me too.
I'm trying to keep it real for now.
You're mad at the hype. Keep it real. Don't be too
mad at
the
hype. I might be. I might be a little mad at the hype. But I'll tell you what, man. Like, there's a lot of people right above him I like a lot.
Don't be mad at the hype. Be mad about how it happens. But they might have been eating at the right restaurant. They just didn't want to tell you about it until they tried the food.
So we have a very different group, only 4 guys in. So I love it.
Yeah, super.
I love it. Swags and I have done this in the past, and it's like eerily close, where I'm pretty convinced the audience didn't even think that we did it separately. This is quite a bit off. Higgins is not in my top 10, by the way.
Game changer too in a few weeks when we do just the 2020 class. So
yeah.
Dave, where are you going with your number 9?
I'm going with T. Higgins. I talked to him a lot.
Too far off there then.
Yeah. I talked to him. Yeah. And it's because it's positionally, I think he falls in a place among other type of other wide receivers where I'll take some other positions, some of the running backs we're going to talk about, maybe another position. I don't want to, give out the surprises here or anything, but T. Higgins, he's got the target share. He's getting the volume. He's starting to score touchdowns, and we're starting to see him do it multiple ways too. He's creating big plays. He's going up and getting the ball. He's doing it. He's catching intermediate passes. He's getting thrown some short passes too out in the flat. some crossers. There's a lot to like how T. Higgins is doing it. There are some concerns that Swags mentioned a little earlier, but I also think Joe Burrow is not playing as well as he could be. I'm not saying that he's going to play. I think he's going to play more, but he's been throwing, I think he's been a little hit or miss, and I would love a little bit more consistency from him, a little bit more pass volume on that offense, and it could get really exciting here. So I'm glad we're seeing the target share and the peripheral numbers that I've been really holding on to with T. Higgins and not trying to abandon ship with him pay off, because he really has had a good portion of that offense all season. And that's why we care about those things, because things change. It's a weird week. There's random things that happen and we see the variance. And two, with T. Higgins, people are like, oh, he's just so unexciting. Like, the criticisms were that he was unexciting, not really doing a lot with his targets that he was having. Like, he had 14 targets that one time, or he led the league in targets for that week and didn't do a lot with it. But then we've seen what happens when, like, he has shown some of that explosives, this, that big play, those, that ceiling, which he's been a top three wide receiver or top four wide receiver two of the last 3 weeks or something. And so that's been exciting. So that's why he falls in here. I'd love to have him higher, but there's just so many good players that I can't.
And he still earned those targets, right, Dave?
100%. He was not vacationing anywhere.
Number nine here, not easily, but I'm throwing in J.K. Dobbins at number nine. I'd love to have him a little bit higher. I'm thinking if it wasn't for the injury, we'd be talking about Dobbins in a little bit of a different way this year. Still coming off injury next year. I want to temper my expectations a little bit, but I'm excited to have a good running back in this offense. I think Lamar Jackson will be excited to have a good running back in this offense too, as much as we've enjoyed that in the fantasy landscape. I think that he is missing Gus Edwards, Dobbins. I really think if you can find a way, like if a contender has J.K. Dobbins for some reason, take a shot and see if you can help him out these next few weeks and take a stab at J.K. Dobbins. But I'm putting J.K. Dobbins here at number nine. Maybe a little bit high up for you guys, but I don't mind it. Yeah, I'm digging it.
I had a consideration for him for the top 10.
Didn't make your top 10, Finero?
No, sir.
A rookie fever trivia going into Feverish is number 8.
All right, number 8. 2020's wide receiver 10, second in the league in receptions.
It was only a rookie fever trivia.
It's coming. I have to tell you who the player is first. The trivia answer is not the player. Trust me for just 1 second.
All right.
Second in the league in receptions, only behind Cooper Kupp. Jalen Waddle is my 8th. Here's the question. Of the 2021 rookie class with Chase Pitts, Elijah Moore, Devonta Smith, Waddle's 849 receiving yards are second to only Chase. And his reception total, 86 catches so far this season, is 29 more than the next closest rookie. He is on pace for 112 catches, which would break the current rookie record mark held by who?
Anquan Boldin.
Yeah. Yep, that's what it is. I saw that. It's a good question. I mean, that's an awesome record, though. Oh,
here. It's a shitty trivia question. Shitty trivia question that everybody in the world knew, but...
Not everybody.
How remarkable would that be?
People out there that didn't know the answer, and they just shut the show off because you're just like, oh, wow, yeah.
Jalen Waddle is on pace to have the most receptions. Right now, let's see, Justin Jefferson at 88 last year, and he was 7th on the list. Anybody know who is in second place behind Anquan Boldin with 92?
Randy Moss?
Nope.
It's not Odell Beckham Jr. because he didn't have the whole season.
2016. You said it wasn't Odell Beckham?
Yeah.
It's not. Odell Beckham had 91. This player had 92.
Was it his college teammate?
No.
2016
wearing number 13. 92 receptions his rookie season. You guys know this.
I do. I get my years get confused.
Is that a Cooper Kupp year?
Keenan Allen? No, Keenan Allen. No.
Michael Thomas. Steve.
Michael Thomas.
Thomas. Jalen Waddle also just tied Odell Beckham Jr.'s record of like the amount of games having 8 receptions.
Oh, wow.
And more time to play. So number 8, Jalen Waddle. Yeah.
Jalen Waddle.
For the record, is it on pace for a 17 game pace or an 18 games, you know?
Yeah, he's on pace this season with all games to be at 112. Yeah. So, but I mean, 112 is 11 more than Anquan Bolt.
The record's 105 or something.
You know what I mean? That's a game. That's a good game. 101. Yeah. So if he winds up at 112, I'm going to give it to him, Dave.
Yeah. Oh no, that's the record. It's the record. That's the record.
You know what I'm saying, though? But I'm not gonna feel like there's an asterisk necessary.
Or if he does the record, maybe he'll do it before the season.
Yeah, that would be even better, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Or at least try to tie it or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's exciting. I mean, it really is.
Eight. We're on eight already. Oh wow.
Man, man.
My eight is Kyle Pitts. I assume this is non premium tight end, so are we doing top 12 scoring?
I mean, everybody thinks it matters, but does it? And for me in my head, I usually kind of have a 1.75 tight end premium head, but I can convert pretty quickly. But
it's just for me,
even as the tight end premium is really Kyle Pitts, isn't it? It's not the scoring.
Well, it's more of you know, scoring. Like, I don't view it just as scoring versus other tight ends too. I view it scoring versus other players. And I just have more of a premium on other positions, running back and wide receiver, than I do tight end. I'll piece together tight end. That's just how I build my fantasy teams usually. So Kyle Pitts, who's having a very good rookie season, starting to peter out a little bit here, but yeah, I still think he's doing, you know, targets, target share. It's all there. He's just not the tight end one on the season. Oh, heaven forbid a rookie's not doing that.
He is on pace to be in some pretty good wide receiver company, let alone tight end, just within the amount of yards that he should have by the end of the season. You look at that group of wide receivers that he's going to end the season with and what they did with their futures, and there's no real busts on that list. He's just short of the touchdowns.
Yep.
But he's had the targets, he's had the yards, he's taken the coverage. My argument, I guess, here, Dave, is that, like I said, like, is the premium the scoring or is the premium Kyle Pitts? Because if you have Kelce, you see what he does to your league mates' teams. Like, when he goes away, it's like losing Derrick Henry and all of a sudden their team is just awful without Kelce. And if that's what somebody like Kyle Pitts can do in the future, I'm all in.
Yeah, and I just am not willing to
scoring the same amount of points as a wide receiver.
Oh yeah, 100%. I don't want to invest that much capital in my tight end. That's just all. Hawkinson is probably the most expensive tight end that I have this year. This is how I build my teams. So I just don't value the position as much as in start one tight end. But he's been great.
I hear you. I just think he can put up comparable points, if not better, than the wide receivers in this class at a position that could give you a little bit of a leverage. But like you said, that's not how you build your team. I don't want to tell you how to build your team. So I get it.
That's where the variance. But
for me, he gives you a positional advantage.
I mean, we could say the same thing too for like a Jalen. I mean, Javonte Williams, right? He hasn't done it yet. Neither has Pitts hasn't really done it yet at an elite level. He's done it at a rookie elite level. But I'm going to have to, before I start moving up ahead of running backs at like a Najee or a top wide receiver, I'm just going to have to see a little bit more of like an elite, like a not just elite tight end, rookie tight end, but an elite tight end type production. That, and I just don't, I don't want to repeat myself, but
yeah, I mean, I don't know who, like, man, when I think of elite and who's shown elite out of this class, I think of Najee, I think of Waddle, and I think of Pitts.
I absolutely think of Chase.
Yeah.
Chase has shown it just as much as Pitts, I would agree. He's had a couple of those big game explosions like Pitts. Pitts has had a 140 yard game. He's had a couple really big games, more yards than TJ Hockenson. He just doesn't have the touchdowns. And I know TJ Hockenson has had what people are calling a down year, but Pitts has less fantasy points, but more yards than Hockenson. I know that for a fact. I think Pitts has shown it. And, I don't know. And like I said, but for me, it's just like the team's getting sometimes from somebody like Kelce or somebody like that. And I think that he's on that path.
Target share's there. and everything beside. And then you're right, not getting touchdowns is really hurt.
And that can change. May get like two touchdowns in a game, and that's totally plausible. He's got a little time left to improve that.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's with like Russell Gage as the wide receiver one on the team. So Pitts has been taking some coverage. My number eight, same as you, Fornaro. I've got Jalen Waddle there. The targets this kid has been getting all year and what he's been doing with them is just been fun to watch. It's getting to the point where it's extremely hard for me to not just put him in front of Ja'Marr Chase and not really care about the physical attributes and just kind of look at this target share and what Waddle's done in the last part of the year. I do have my concerns though as well. Just kind of like, I hope that Tua has earned this job and we don't have to have a bunch of off-season drama, but I don't have a ton of faith in Miami and that organization yet. So Waddle's better with Tua. So we'll have to see what happens moving forward. But yeah, for me, Waddle right here, number eight. That moves to you, Fornaro, at number seven.
All right, number seven, I have CeeDee Lamb. 90 targets, 57 catches for 829 yards and 6 touchdowns. Played in just 11 games because he had a bye already, which Waddle did not have. And he also missed a recent game due to concussion. I have CeeDee Lamb in the 7 slot. What say you? Oh, I don't know. I don't got groaning. I don't hate it. I got nothing.
I freaking love it. I'm a little bit embarrassed, actually. I somehow forgot about CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee.
And this is definitely knocking T. Higgins out of my top 10 now. So it would put J.K. Dobbins at 10, Waddle at 9, and it would probably move Lamb. It moved Lamb to 8, respectively.
I just want you to apologize to CeeDee Lamb.
That I forgot about him, right?
Yeah.
But I'm definitely taking him. I am taking him in front of Waddle and J.K. Dobbins and T. Higgins. So
okay. Well, you know quickly where he belongs, so that's good.
Yeah, I'm going to adjust our sheet while you go into T. Higgins.
All right, so I had CeeDee Lamb. And Swags is fixing his sheet. Dave, who do you have in that number 7 slot?
Javonte Williams. The idea of his, just because of the peripherals, what he has shown, what he has done when he has an opportunity, I think he's a really good player. And if he has the volume, which I think he eventually will have at some point in his NFL career, sooner rather than later, I think he's just he's a very good player. No, I think he's a difference maker on a fantasy squad. Like, is he a Jonathan? Like, is he going to be scoring 40 point weeks? I'm not quite so sure, but he's already had that one game that he had the lion's share of the opportunities. He scored more points than Najee Harris has, I think, the entire season, at least from a PPR standpoint, I'm pretty sure. So, like, are we going to, I don't want to do it like a Najee versus Javonte Williams or like a debate, because I don't think that's genuine at all, but, his peripherals, his efficiency, his tackle breaking ability, and coupled with his receiving yards or receiving ability, which I think is pumped up by Teddy Bridgewater a little bit, is why he's here. And I just really love, as far as young running backs, I put a premium on that, on those players.
If they go into the season with no Melvin Gordon, and the most notable player they bring in is somebody Devonta Freeman-ish behind him, is there now a Najee Harris and Javonte Williams debate?
Who's the quarterback for Pittsburgh?
Yeah, for both teams.
Who's the quarterback for Denver?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have higher hopes that Denver's going to do something. I don't think Pittsburgh even has a plan.
Yeah, and on the Pittsburgh side of it, I would even argue that we know that they want to run it with a back all the time.
Yes, they do.
But I think that it's closer to a debate. I don't think it's that far off a debate, I guess. I still have Najee Harris ahead of Javonte Williams, spoiler alert. But I don't think it's that far off of a small debate. Number seven for me is, I'm just excited. I'm the first one to say his name, and I'm going to put Ja'Marr Chase here.
Did you know that you were going to be the first one to say his name? Or did you have a sneaking suspicion?
I had suspicions, but looking at this class, honestly, or the last two classes combined, nothing would have shocked me, really. I mean, and just kind of knowing how we feel, I knew Dave wouldn't have him in this show tonight. but for me and the guys I have in front of him, and you know, just how I would rank them if I'm in a draft and the guys that I'm always hoping would fall to me and the guys I'm hoping you draft in front of me, I'm fine watching you draft Ja'Marr Chase and getting my wide receivers elsewhere. And there's some running backs I want in front of him, quite honestly. You know, it's just, it's not going to be too far off the show. We talked a little bit a few shows back about Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. I have switched that around after watching Justin Jefferson continue to be so consistent in his second year versus Ja'Marr Chase kind of falling off a little bit and not even showing the consistency throughout the remainder of the season. So I did move Justin Jefferson up. And then we had that show where we had rank Najee, Ja'Marr, and Kyle Pitts. And I had Ja'Marr Chase at 3 in that group. And that hasn't changed for me. Love him. Love him. I mean, these dudes are studs. But yeah, I know that we're probably going to part waters here. Feverish, who do you have at 6?
Ja'Marr Chase. Close out my bottom 5 with Najee Harris. Running back 5 on the season, despite playing behind PFF's graded 28th worst offensive line. He's 217 carries, 779 yards, 5 touchdowns. Targeted 72 times, guys. 72 times. Quiz. His 72 targets leads all running backs this season, even Swift and Eckler. By how much? He leads all running backs this season, including Swift and Eckler, with his 72 targets.
I mean, it's two more 10. Targets than Swift.
There you go. That's and one good. More one more than Eckler.
Yeah. You're lower on the running backs in this class than I am. That's for
sure. I still got running backs to go, obviously. There's big names. There's some big obvious names that need to find their way onto my list. But yeah. Najee Harris, I guess, is going to be making the part 2 of the show for you, Swags.
You've guessed correctly.
And Najee Harris is my 6 as well. I think he's had a very good season. He's been extremely valuable. He is what you've paid in for him as a rookie. You've got to be extremely happy. You have not had to wait for production from a wide receiver as they start to gain a target share or some of those decisions, and you don't have. And it's not necessarily some promise. Like Pitts is 10.5 PPR points per game. Najee is putting up top 5 type running back numbers. So you're getting that right away. It's what Najee Harris is doing. And he's doing it in multiple different ways for on the ground and through the air. That's what kind of makes him exciting. Now his efficiencies is a problem. And also too, that his future is a problem, which we've all already kind of alluded to. So I won't get into it too much. But the question is this the best we're going to see from Najee Harris? Is this Najee Harris's best season? I think that's a realistic expectation, at least for the next couple of years, because it could have been a lot worse quarterback play or that it's there, that salary cap situation. It's just interesting how this is all going to play out in Pittsburgh, but he comes in at 6, and the people that I have above him, I am extremely high on. So it is not a knock on Najee at all, because a lot of these, the 5 players I have ahead of him are all in my top 12 of my QB1 dynasty rank. So it's not like I'm hating on Najee at all.
Well, I mean, and you have him the same place that Finero has him. He came into the league a little bit older. I think it's for real, though, man. I think that if they have a worse quarterback situation, I don't think they're going to hand him the ball less. And he's done decent just with the opportunity, even with the bad situation, which is kind of the O-line being kind of crummy.
I'm just worried about 6. His touchdowns, you know? Like, he's only got – like, if he had a better QB, he'd have – you know, a better offense, he'd be like, I think Najee should have like 12 touchdowns based on his workload. You know, like he's that, what he's capable of. And then he's like knocking his socks off. So if things don't improve and he's staying at like the 7 touchdowns, that's just a concern just because of the overall team. So, but I'm just, what reason why I'm talking about, like, I'm not hating on him because I think he's really good. And I'm not sure if that's coming through what I'm saying.
12 touchdowns is a lot.
Yeah. Especially like Jonathan Taylor's 18.
I mean, but we've had seasons where the rushing touchdown leader ended with 18 on a 100%, 100%. So, I mean, 12 touchdowns isn't something to scoff at just because Jonathan Taylor has 18 this year.
No, the point I'm trying to say is like the difference making ability is what those touchdowns can really just separate you and make, you know, like a CMC did, what like he does for lineups, and that kind of just really separates you and gives you a leg up week in and week out. And that's what the touchdowns can do.
I mean, I think there's a silver lining with change too. Like, I think we, you know, Ben's already saying that he's not going to probably stay in Pittsburgh. And so my concern would be, you know, if Pittsburgh's plan is truly to hand this off to Mason Rudolph or something like that, you know, a change can be a good thing. Ben has not been fantastic for this team. So a change could absolutely be a good thing. We're afraid of change in Dynasty.
Maybe Gardner will be there.
Whatever. I mean, we're afraid of change in Dynasty because it's less predictable. But less predictable doesn't make it bad. Less predictable just makes it less predictable. Like, we could have an uptick. He could have a better situation.
Nonetheless, you guys hate Najee Harris. I have Justin Jefferson at my six here, rounding out my top guys. It's so tough. I don't know if I can put him there. I'm going to change that and put Kyle Pitts there. And then Justin Jefferson will be my number five next week.
Yeah, might as well just lead off the show with that since you gave it away.
Gave it away. Man, there's a lot of spoiler alerts, though. Sort of.
Justin Jefferson is in my top 12, so. No, I'm just kidding.
Overall, yeah, I Justin Jefferson.
He just missed my top 12.
And I have trouble squeezing wide receivers into my top 12. I won't even lie. I'm fine admitting that, but I would put Justin Jefferson.
Well, I'm talking about my re-rank, my this exercise. Like, he's not even my top 10 swag.
So. Oh, he's not even. I heard you wrong. Yeah. You said he's not even. I thought you said he was. So Feverish, the only one to rank Antonio Gibson. Then he has Javonte Williams at 9, Waddle at 8, CeeDee Lamb at 7, Harris at 6, Spaceman Waddle at 10, Higgins at 9. Only one to end up ranking Higgins after I took him out. Kyle Pitts at number 8, Javonte Williams at 7, Najee at 6, J.K. Dobbins for me at 10, Waddle 9, Lamb 8, Jamar Chase, Kyle Pitts, number 6.
That was hard,
yeah. Not as hard as trying to tell everybody who you trust and who you bust on.
Pants are on today, maybe, just to let you guys know.
It did you come out wrong.
Pants on? Were there any players just you were surprised to not see in the top 10 from any of us?
I think there's some wide receiver, like an Elijah Moore, I think, is in consideration. I have him. He was really hard. We would talk, like, Jalen Waddle's had a great last couple of weeks. Elijah Moore has been out of this world as well.
Maybe Finero has him in his top 5.
I would be impressed. I would be very impressed if he got him in his top 5.
I feel like, I mean, because Dave, I feel like, man, I guess I'm wrong. I feel like I could trade Finero, Elijah Moore for Antonio Gibson, but maybe I'm wrong.
Hmm. Yeah, see that's where nothing's in a vacuum, baby. Like, you just can't talk like that. Like,
you almost had him. You almost had him, and then you're gonna play that clip.
So many other considerations. You can't just do it like that.
He's like, huh? Maybe I do want Elijah Moore at number 10.
He has that post next to his bed. He's like, "I'm sorry, I talked bad about you today."
Yeah, I have to get one. I have like one of those fat heads right in my bedroom of Elijah Moore that I stare at every morning. Can we get them on as a sponsor since I just dropped their name?
Yeah, who was it?
Fathead. There's right. Big life size stickers that you put in your room.
Yep,
those things.
So bust. Use promo code Rookie Fever. Trust. We'll get that. We'll try to get that promo code for you guys. A trust would be an underperformer that we want to try to find a way to put a little bit of trust in. And a bust, maybe not somebody quite that you want to move on from, but kind of.
You're certainly thinking about it.
You're starting to really have some concerns. Is this the right time to get out of those concerns? How long can you wait? Remember, you're still in an active league right now, too. It's about to go away. Every week, somebody loses a little less interest in your dynasty league. So, Dave, who's somebody you want to find some trust in?
I don't have to find it because it's there already. It's Rondale Moore. I don't want to do too much Rondale Moore because I'm on a diet. If you guys remember, some Rondale Moore diet, and
you look good.
I'm actually a little tired. It's been very tired. It's been wearing.
Hey, I gave you a tasty nutrients. Nugget with Elijah Moore to Rondell Moore target versus catch rate there.
It was like that was just a celery stick for me and barely could taste it. But it wasn't. I did like
peanut
that
butter on it. Some raisins
and some raisins. Some ants and ants on a yeah, there we go. Underrated snack. But no, Rondell Moore, I think I've talked about him extensively. He's shown me enough. I am a little disappointed. I was hoping that we'd see a bit more with Kyler coming back because you could explain some of it. He did have a good game with Colt McCoy, but I would really have liked to have seen something with Kyler coming back, and I don't think Rondell Moore didn't show up. So I'm waiting to year two. That I think that wide receiver room is going to be stacked a little differently. I think he has the talent. I'm disappointed in his usage as far as ADOT. I think he has a bit more in his toolbox than he's been given credit for in year one. So I have a lot of trust in my rookie evaluation and where Rondell Moore was. And there was a time where I was like, do I want to just be stubborn and put Rondell Moore as my top 10 ranked rookies for today? And I did not, because I would think it just would be a little bit disingenuous to think that some of the rookies that I had left out and it would run no more. But the point is I think his talent is there, and I really like gobbling up, because I think there has been a depreciation in value, especially the last like month to month and a half, where his ease of buy is there to go out and get. So I'm gobbling him up where I don't have him, but the problem is I have him everywhere.
And I mean, I think you're right. There's been a depreciation in value, but there's also been a huge depreciation in production since those first couple weeks, right?
Yeah, yeah. The targets have been hard to predict. Like he'll have a 8-target game randomly, and then he has a double digit, and then go a couple weeks. So then his route participation goes way up, and then it drops. It's been confusing, and I'm having trouble gauging it. And part of it is that I think it's just there's a lot. It's one. It's a successful Panero, team.
Does Rondell Moore need somebody there to take coverage away to be successful?
He has people there taking coverage away. I think he needs one less person. I think he needs one less person.
When those opportunities have been there, they definitely haven't been his best games.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned this like pretty early when Rondell Moore was rolling a little bit early. That I still feel good about that asset. I still have some trust. I think that's a great. I'm surprised I didn't put him down as a trust. Maybe I was thinking Dave was going to do it for me, but I think he's what you. This rookie class, particularly this wide receiver rookie class, we just got done ranking even last year's. They're phenomenal. This is really unheard of, and I feel like unfairly the rest of these rookies get compared to them, and they become. I don't know. The expectation is too high. I think that everyone is Justin Jefferson or everyone is it.
Well, I don't want a wide receiver 48 or a wide receiver 70.
Yeah, but I'm just saying Jerry Jeudy had that kind of season. You know what I mean? Like that. I don't know, man. I just feel like this is a little harsh for somebody that could easily see some more volume and more opportunities next year and has flashed and is on a great offense. And, you know, I still have trust. I don't have as much worry. I hate the inconsistency. Nobody likes that in fantasy football, but, I'm not shaking in my boots like some people are about Rondell Moore. I'm still among the faithful.
Yeah. And I don't have him on a bus. And I think you're right. I think that I thought Dave would mention him. Actually, I went a little different route with some of my guys too, but I guess like, I mean, AJ Green's probably not around too long. I just wonder what Rondell Moore looks like when he's taking more coverage. And that's kind of what my original question was, is what will Rondell Moore actually look like? I mean, is Hopkins going to demand coverage forever as long as he's there? But does Rondell Moore need those guys there to take the coverage to have the big games that are giving him this nice, beautiful catch rate? He's wide open. Doesn't do so good when they're not there. That's what I want to wait and see.
I think it's hard to scheme defensively a player, Rondell Moore, how he can do a lot of different things as a jackknife. I think it's hard to take him away totally. So I think his versatility helps him there.
I don't hate Rondell Moore. I'm definitely a little more skeptical, I guess. I would have a hard time buying into it at the price I feel like I would have to pay, which I haven't felt those waters out to see what I would have to pay.
What do you think it is? Just off the top, I'm curious if you think it's higher than
where what I want to pay. and what I feel like I have to pay for the Rondale Moore. And I wouldn't give you a 2022 second because I feel like I could fall into that second and get somebody that could replace Rondale Moore and I'd feel better about in the second round. I'd probably would do it for a 2022 second, but kind of having the pick at this point sounds like just as much fun to me too as having Rondale Moore on my bench. Rondale Moore is not going to start on my team for how long until I trust him starting on my team. Not as a valuable asset, but to start on my team. When is that going to happen?
2 points per game less than Kyle Pitts this season.
I'm just kidding around. But with you took away the tight end premium, I'm assuming?
Yeah, I don't. I just PPR.
And it's still 2 points more from a guy getting no touchdowns. I mean, how many more, less than Elijah Moore or Jamar Chase? Don't Four just do somebody Elijah you Moore. Don't like.
Well, I mean, I was just joking, but I wasn't being serious about that.
Rondale Moore is someone that Dave trusts. Swags, who do you trust?
So like I said, I went a little bit of a different direction, and so it was just like, cause I didn't want to even call Kadarius Toney a bust or somebody like that, but somebody I trust. And I kind of wish that, like, there's this news of, spoiler alert, Keenan Allen and Mike Williams missing some time because of COVID. And I wish it wasn't happening because I would like to add some Josh Palmer to my teams moving forward, more of a future move. It's not quite the same price point as Rondale Moore or anything like that. But moving forward, I think that once we start to see one of Mike Williams or Keenan Allen sort of go away, I don't think it'd be too crazy to start to see Josh Palmer a little bit more.
That's crazy. We talked a little bit before we hit the mic about maybe having copies. Josh Palmer was one of my trusts, believe it or not, Swags. And that was one that I thought that neither of you would say. And I felt like I wanted to add him into this list because he is going to potentially get a pretty good opportunity this week with Mike Williams today, Wednesday being today, by the way, it depends on when you listen to this podcast, but Wednesday, Mike Williams was just added to the COVID IR. And then, of course, we all know that Keenan is already on it. So the chances of both of them coming back off of that is very, very light. So everyone's going to be looking at Jalen Guyton, and Jalen Guyton's going to have a role, and Jalen Guyton is going to get those deep passes. But I like Josh Palmer to be in that mid to intermediate area and possibly get a touchdown in this game. So I love that you mentioned Josh Palmer. My trust, however, because you took mine, will be Justin Fields. I still have a lot of trust in Justin Fields. I know he hasn't shown us everything. I think I'm not alone on this panel. I think all three of us still trust Justin Fields. I don't want to talk out of turn, but I think this coaching staff is going to turn, if you will. I think it's definitely going to be, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think another off season, I think if he's used and coached properly, I think we're going to see much better stuff in his second year. He gets to play, which isn't a great matchup this week. He gets to play the Packers. But the thing that I'm going to find interesting, I'm not looking for big numbers. I'm not looking for, you know, him to prove me right on deserving my trust. What I am looking for is him from his good preparation. Can he prepare for a team he's already played in division and do better? Because doing better is not going to ask much. He was 16 for 27 for 174 yards with one touchdown and one pick. I want to see improvement, and I want to see him play to his strengths, even if it winds up being something that he has to do out of his back pocket by scrambling and getting out of the pocket under duress instead of getting sacked, which he's been getting sacked a lot. Even if he throws it out of bounds versus getting sacked, just some maturity in this game versus a team he's already played. I definitely still have trust in Justin Fields.
Yeah, I dig it. Love me some Justin Fields. Dave, I think that means you are leading our busts.
Oh my, I'm not ready for this. As players that I'm willing, I do not really look at players that I'm totally just, I think are not going to be a thing. Because if I was going to do just like, okay, if I was just going to, like, when people think bust, I would throw Terrace Marshall out there, but I actually don't think it's been a fair judgment of his season. The quarterback play has just not been there. I think the offense has been a little bit disheveled. I really actually don't mind going out and feeling around to try to get some cheap Terrace Marshall, so I wouldn't put him here. But if I was just going to, in this if I was just going to be like black and white, it Terrace Marshall would be there, but I don't think he deserves it because I think that it's been unfair to him. But
so Marshall would be somebody you trust.
It's someone that
into that category.
Mm-hmm.
Based like on it. The way that I'm approaching this, because I just don't think it's fair for to like on a 1 year to just like write a rookie off, especially some when it's gone, everything has gone against him. And same with like Trey Sermon. Like I think he's got some draft cap. I don't think he's going to just be relegated to nothingness forever. So like players that I would like naturally think, oh yeah, I'm out on them. I don't want to go get them, but I don't think they're dead. They're not dead. That's what I'm trying to say in Dynasty.
That's how I understand it.
But for me, someone that I'm probably a little bit more disheartened by would be Dyami Brown. He's had some opportunities out there, and I know he's been dealing with injuries. Quarterback play hasn't been that great, but I just had a lot more hope for him coming out, and I've been disappointed. And I don't think I can get anything from him for him. But if there's a priority ad or something like that, which I had a hard time finding it, but I'm not saying that I wouldn't be totally opposed to just dropping him if there was some like if I need to cut a bottom end of my roster guy. That's just kind of how I'm approaching it. Dyami Brown.
Dave, I have him down as one of my busts as well. And a lot of it, I mean, he's either missed time or every time he's had an opportunity with the players out that you think that would get some targets going his way, it just hasn't happened. And with the court, I like Heinicke as much as the next guy, but just wondering who the quarterback's going to be there and what the play is going to be like and who Dyami Brown really is and not getting to see that. He is definitely a player that I feel like at this point still has almost just enough value to where you can kind of cushion him into a throw-in trade just to get somebody a little bit of hope, like to make a lateral move on a player that you might like a little bit more than the next guy. But yeah, I'm with you on Dyami Brown. He's somebody that I'm kind of ready to part ways with and don't want to add to my teams right now.
And I think it's part of it too is expectations. I had some kind of inkling. I liked him, and it's just sad to see him not kind of come through.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. And that's even why I had him is because he was a player that I tried to have players on my list that I actually kind of liked at the coming into the season as well, even if they were some of the cheaper players.
And that's exactly what where my guy came from, Swags, and Dave hit on him, and I think he deserves to be there.
Who is somebody you're busting on?
Yeah.
Oh, so, Dyami?
Yeah. No. Dave hit on Terrace Marshall, and I he gave him kind of a mulligan, and I'm not ready to do that. He's been healthy all season. Actually, that's not true. I guess he did. I think he did miss two games. But what he was healthy was he was a healthy scratch. And actually was outsnapped by fellow rookie sixth round pick Shai Smith, which I believe they pointed out to me, and I was surprised. He's not had one catch since week 6 of the season and has only been targeted 4 times since then. That feels like a Terrace Marshall problem, not a quarterback problem. So I'm not saying that Terrace Marshall on a different team couldn't be more successful, but he's on this one for the next 3 years, and I'm worried. So if I can move on for those happy feelings that I had about Terrace Marshall coming in, that somebody else might still have to carry the torch. I think there's a little value there still that I could get out, which I think is this kind of the point of this exercise. We're not calling them busts like they're worthless. They still have a little bit of worth. Somebody might like Terrace Marshall. Terrace Marshall, I liked a lot, to be honest, coming in.
He still holds a little name value.
Yeah, he has that. So that's why I think he deserves to be. I think he's a perfect candidate for this. I think Trey Sermon is almost too easy, and I feel like Terrace Marshall to me has been given that opportunity by the team. And early on in the season, if you look at the numbers and the snap shares, they were there. Something got unearned, and we don't know what it is, but the team does.
He had some targets too. Yeah,
that scares me. The team knows something, and he's either not picking stuff up, he's either blowing stuff that doesn't translate into fantasy points, or something missing between the ears. I don't know, but it doesn't look great here. I know that Swags, you and I were on a show with Jason DiRenzo, the weekly breakdown, and we were talking about Terrace Marshall, and his evaluation of Terrace Marshall is he's a little one-trick pony, and his one trick is just go down the field as fast as you can and beat covers that way and catch the ball. That quarterback's not on this team, in all fairness. When Cam Newton came on, I thought, oh, maybe Terrace Marshall time. It's not. He's a healthy scratch the next week. So, yeah, he's on my list.
I will say, too, to add a little bit. Joe Brady is fired. So, like, one of the big things is people are like, oh, Joe Brady comes in to this squad that they bring in his player. That's he's like, so someone who was in his corner is no longer there.
Yeah.
That doesn't help either.
Yeah.
Here's your bus, Swags.
Well, I had Diami Brown down.
Oh, okay.
Another one, though, you know, if you want me to double up just because to have somebody else for the listeners is Nico Brown or Nico Collins. Nico Brown. Nico Collins. I just haven't been as thrilled as I thought I was going to be when he was given his opportunity. Somebody I'd be a little bit more patient on than I will be Diami. Just he did have that year off in college. He's had some weird quarterback play himself going back from Mills and Tyrod Taylor. Still, I thought he was going to do a little bit better when given the opportunity just for them pretty much only having Brandon Cooks, and even Cooks being banged up a couple times throughout the season. Didn't quite see what I thought we would see from Nico Collins this year.
He's riding the line for me, man. He's like right there. Like I.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
He really is. He's right there. Ask me at the end of the season. I'll have a decision by then.
That name definitely scrolled across the desk.
Yeah.
Good luck to anybody that's trying to squeeze into your fantasy playoffs. Good luck to anybody whose playoffs started. Hopefully you earn some bye weeks. Dave, is it you? Do you want some final thoughts, Dave? You look like you need some final thoughts.
Sure. Just give me 10 seconds to gather some final thoughts.
You got to leave that in.
I almost wanted to count down, Finero. 10.
Oh, that would be high pressure.
9.
Final thoughts are just supposed to be a way to express yourself, man. Relax, Dave. Just talk from your heart, man. Right from your heart.
Take it easy, Dave. Take it easy.
Right here.
You know, my final thoughts are that as the year comes to a close, the holidays are going to be right, like Thanksgiving's in the rearview. Christmas, I think Hanukkah's in the rearview too. We've got other holidays, right, like New Year's, Christmas, right around the corner. And what that does to me is it reflects a lot on family, reflects a lot on friends. And what I spent a lot of my time doing this past year is spending time with my family, but also in fantasy and what that means to me, what Rookie Fever has meant to me, what Tale of Two Rivals, what my league mates, the people I interact with on Twitter. And this can also be a very difficult time for people who might not have the family they can rely on or a significant other that they have that they can turn to when they're down from a bad day at work, or they're sick and they need help. So just be there for your friends or family who might not have that somebody, because this is a really tough time of year for a lot of people. And don't, someone you haven't heard in a while, it goes a long way with just a little check-in text or a DM. So that's kind of my little thought is, I know we're all busy, but don't forget to check in on some friends and loved ones that might not be, or even just acquaintances that might not be doing as well as you are, or just, you know, you never know how people are doing. It's a tough time of year for people.
Yeah, I agree. Great thoughts. Great thoughts from at FF _ spaceman and at Artbark TV is the Feverish Finero, and I am at Swag00G. This is at Rookie Fever on the Twitterverse, and we are out. Yeah, get a fever that's so hard to bear. Rookie Fever. When you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. In the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever, when you kiss me, fever when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 style? He's never done this to before and run. I told you anyone's size would be just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, what's this breakout? A full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with our flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soup. So who's got
fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's beat the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. What a lovely way to burn.